Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Precious Lord, we thank you today. Now let your word be seasoned as your man servant speaks. Let the words be coupled with your fear, that the hearts may fear this mighty Yahweh, the great creator, and that all of our actions will be to please you in all things. We will love you, lift up a standard of holiness unto you, Yahweh, and that we will not be ashamed of your name. I'm not ashamed of your name, Father. Again, I want you to bless the brother, Father, in India. I think about those situations in Haiti. My Father, places and nations like China, the whole continent of Africa, decimated, Father. Folks dying without bread. I know that there's a just, righteous Yahweh. What sin has done and the darkness that is brought in because of one sin, Father. Just one sin. What it has caused such devastation for man, the earth. He continued trying to exact his will, satisfying his lusts, satisfying his own greed, Father. We don't know them all, Father, but I do in Messiah's name. Situation in Haiti is so bad, Father. China, the people are poor in India. And brother, you could sense the tears in his heart, Father. Man. But I think that we never have to worry about food. Yet we despise your blessings. See, I don't like that. Father, I pray. This is my prayer. I know I shall suffer. Please, Father. Bring it down on this nation, this arrogant, haughty nation. Those that call themselves saints, please, Father, that's my prayer. Woe unto them that desire the day of your way. I understand, Father. But I know what is written in Scripture, and that's my confidence. Bring it all down, Father. Bring it down. Bring it down, Father. As you said, hell, the grave is never full or satisfied. Neither is this corrupt heart of man ever pleased. Is not pleased with anything. It always wants more. There's a million, there are 2 million. It's 2 million, there are 8 million. 8 million is not enough, 20 million. 20 million is not enough, 100 million. When a man began to walk in that spirit, there's not a heart of thankfulness, Father. That's why even in your house, as we gather, your law of correction upon us, that's why there's not much thankfulness. We're not thankful, Father. We express it with our lips, but certainly our hearts are far, because we have many complaints. As I said to the young man, Brother Jermaine, yesterday, as we spoke the word of Yahweh to understand the intricacies of his truth. I said, we can be without any rebuke and correction. We stop the murmuring and the complaining. Don't have enough. Don't have what I need. Don't have what I want. Father, I pray that you bless me in a way that this brother, we can help. And we will, Father. We will. I bless you for that. I just want to lift him up, Father. I understand the heaviness of his heart because I understand mine even this day for him, Father. You've given me much. I think about the food each day, the breakfast, water to drink. I can bathe, Father. I have more than change of clothes and change of shoes. I won't complain, Father, about nothing. Nothing, Father. I won't do it. I bless you today in your sure name. I thank you for the promise and the promises that are written. For you will come again. And that is the promise that is written. And that my eyes shall behold him. That I shall see him face to face. I bless you. And I thank you for all things in that precious name. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Yahweh. We bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we bless you all. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I certainly do bless him today. And I do thank him. It is a sad affair of this nation, and we that call ourselves the people of Yahweh, because his truth doesn't inspire our hearts enough to truly bless him and to worship him. It is so sad that what he gives unto a people, he grants unto you this day a breath of life. He brought you forth from the slumber of your sleep, yet your hearts are not very grateful or thoughtful or thankful. There's a dismal shame as I stand here. I know it is. I know as you always speak to my heart from Scripture as I come into the tabernacle to discern. It is not a gratefulness unto Yahweh. We're not very thankful. We don't consider what he has done and the price that he paid. And humiliation of shame. The Messiah suffered on the cross. And unless we are pumped to bless him, we don't do it. You sit here dead. And the reason you're dead because there's no root of love in your heart. There's no love for him. We simply love what he has written in Scripture. We'll obey him. Messiah said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Obey what I tell you to do. He did not speak outside of the proximity of the law of Yahweh and what is written. He came to give us spiritual understanding of those things that are written. And the reason our hearts are not truly and honestly thankful to him, because he is not a real thing to us. We can say he is, certainly he is in our expression of our lips, but not in the heart. When he becomes real in our hearts, when he becomes the rule of our heart, we will do everything that Messiah did. He did all things to please the Father. And when he becomes that essential of our lives, we will do all things to please him. And there's one thing that pleases Yahweh is that when man bless him, when man lifts him up, when man praise him and worship him, he loves that. And that is something that is missing today. Because the hearts, they're full of murmuring, discontentment. They're not satisfied. They're not at peace. They're not happy. And that's why they don't bless him. And David said, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall always continuously be in my lips. Why? Because from the issue of my heart will flow praises unto Yahweh. So we look disinserted. We look as though we're in some far-flung arena. And we can't touch him. I look on our expressions. Some of us, our minds are so thwarted. And so twisted. He is not a reality to us. He is not real to us. And so what we do is just a formalism. It's just a religious tradition of formalism. And it never yields forth the excellent anointing of Almighty Yahweh. For Messiah, walk in that administration of Yahweh's excellent anointing. Whereby the word of Yahweh becomes so real. It is such a lively source that we draw on. Not the bread, cheese and meat. But we draw upon the power of that life because we know that in that hope is the eternal expectation of Almighty Yahweh. So the things that we expect or things that are just nothing. They have no reality and they have no longevity. That's why we have hope only in this life. And that's why our expression is quite miserable. We have hope only in this life. Then we of all men most miserable. And a miserable expression from the heart, we sense that upon the expression of countenance. One that has a joyous heart, you're going to see that on the countenance. It's going to be expressed in their visage. And you will see that. And so when there is no joy because the strength of His Word and the hope of His Word is not a joy to the saints. The joy of Yahweh is my strength. To know what He says is so pure and so accurate that we have strength to do the things that our flesh tries to prohibit us from doing. It's a laborious thing to lift Him up and to praise Him. You have to labor to do that. And unless I'm standing here to tell you to do it, you wouldn't do it. And it's sad. Why? Because it's not real. They will have their gala activities today in their football stadiums. And they will worship their gods with a ferocious worship. They will cry unto their horse. Women that are educated and men that are scholarly minded, they're not ashamed to exalt their mighty strength. Whether it is the rhinos, the razorbacks, the Vikings, it makes no difference at all. It is the spirit of their gods that brings them alive. And yet they come alive with an expectation of victory. Well, I already have the victory. Messiah gave me that on Calvary. So I rejoice in that victory continuously. I bless Him. I honor Him for that. We say to ourselves, well, the word of Yahweh is not relevant. It's not for me. He's not speaking to me. You're absolutely right. He won't speak to certain ones. He only speaks to His children. And those that understand that they are not walking accordingly as He commands them to walk. You're not going to disobey Him and go into the kingdom. He's expecting a perfection in this hour like no other hour. And those that He has ordained and He has set forth His seal of anointing in them, they're going to speak without any thought of repercussion from the hierarchy of religion, philosophies, or traditions, or even man in their arrogant boasting of pride to say you're wrong. They won't fear those things because they will deal with the very issue of the man's heart. And that is the issue that man has rejected and forsaken Yahweh. And He has forsaken him. Man has abandoned Him. He has cleaved unto every god there is. He has made His gods. He has denounced the very power of Almighty Yahweh and Scripture. It's clear on those things. And that's why there is a darkness that is set forth in the earth like never before. The heart of man is so ruthless. There is no compassion. And I'm not talking about those that are flat out sinners. I'm talking about the wickedness of the hearts of Yahweh's people. We are sumptuously greedy. We are a very careless people. We go beyond the laws of Yahweh and establish our own laws that are based upon our own sins, our own wickedness, and our own corruption, and it's wrong. And when you forsake His laws and what He says, then you are forsaken, and your house is forsaken as well. Well, what is that? Well, He totally abandons that place. And when you abandon something, there is no light there. When you abandon a building, you take out everything that is usable and you leave it alone. You abandon a building, you may leave everything there. And it becomes very dormant. No life in it. And every kind of creeping thing there is enter into that building. Every kind of creeping thing. I don't care what it is. It finds some way to enter into that building. And everything becomes filthy. No one is there becomes filthy. You must understand that Messiah must live in this earthen tabernacle. The Spirit of Yahweh must live that to keep it cleansed. He must garnish this thing continuously. That's why the minds of Yahweh's people must be garnished and cleansed. You see a pile of trash in the house, you must sweep it up and extricate it. So it is with things in us. He must send the purger in. And the Spirit must cleanse and sweep it up. Whereby I heaped it in a pile and you see that stench and you see the corruption of that, that it caused your heart to grieve that you allow this building to go unattended, that these kinds of things will creep in. And that is what the people of Yahweh have done. That's why there is no genuine compassion. The hearts are not filled with compassion because they don't know the power of Yahweh's expression of love. Because Yahshua is not real to them. And the word of Yahweh is not real. And so this life is not real. It's almost in a surreal state. A fantasy. And we don't understand the realities of it. It is appointed unto you once to die. And after that, the judgment. That's a reality. That is a reality. The clothes you have on is not a reality today. It's not. But that is a reality. Because it has everlasting implications. It does. And if we don't believe that, what he says, then we will never lift our hearts unto him to exalt him. We will never express our love to him as he commands us to do it. To lift our voices. To lift our hands. To worship him. And dancing and singing. And I say to some of you, to your shame, you're such a corrupt thing and wicked. There's no love for Yahweh in you. Because you don't love the simplicity of his truth and he commands us what to do. If you love him, do what he tells you to do. If you truly love Yahweh, do what he tells you. He hasn't asked for your right arm. He asked for your soul, your heart, your mind, and your strength to love him. So it doesn't leave anything to serve the dark powers of hell and to worship it. You understand there's a darkness that has come in. And that's the reason why the darkness is in. The death of Messiah has no importance today to this world. It doesn't mean much to anyone at all. It doesn't. I said to Deacon Benny yesterday, a pastor from India wrote me, you consist in the letter, the beauty of the brother's heart. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for those things. But he said to me, the things and the circumstance here. I have 7 congregations. And if you can, please come to see. Well, I know that's not Yahweh's will for me to go there. He says, and the people that I serve, they make a scanty wage. And they're below the poverty level. What is the poverty level in India? What is it? When the vast population there lives off less than $1 a day. Where someone's home would be those steps right there on this building. And someone takes that part of it. And someone takes that side. He said, we have 7 little tabernacles. We were able to get some thatch and to build 7 buildings whereby the saints can come and we can worship Yahweh. If you have scriptures, any kind of material that will help us, please send it. Help us. And if you have shoes and clothing, if you have anything to help us, please. I said to Deacon Benny, how do you know it's real? Because you can discern the spirit of the letter. You know it's real. I know the brother's real. I know the love is genuine. I know his heart is sincere. I know it's real. Because it takes that anointing of Yahweh to serve someone like that. And he must help them. He says, I've given up all, every little thing I had to try to assist the people. And to do as much as I can. And this wicked, greedy generation, they will not pay tithes or give offerings, but they will support the wicked and give to the wicked. That's wrong. That is not of Yahweh. It's flat out wrong. It's wrong. You have robbed him because you despise his truth. He tells us to bring those things into his storehouse. He means what he says. You trust him. And when you don't trust him with those substances, he said, the rich young ruler, you trust him with nothing. You don't trust him with that. You can't trust him with your heart. You can't trust him with anything at all. That's the truth. I can't take one word back. It's what scripture says. and we must trust him. He even said to Israel that if you don't obey me, then there are certain curses that are going to come upon you. And we see the curses in this nation. We see the hearts are very opulent. They love lavish things. They love to lavish the flesh. And yet when it comes to Yahweh, there is no thought. Father, search my heart. That's my sincere prayer. I don't want any wicked thing to be in me. I want to be sincere. I want to be real. Well, how do we know that you are not false preacher? Well, if that was the case, then every kind of vile spirit would overtake this place. I would never identify one of them. If I was a covetous man hiding my sin, I would never identify the sins that I identify. Because it would expose me and my cloak of covering would be taken off. If I did things in a surmising evil way, if I did things in a corrupt way, then I would permit all kinds of corruption to take place here. Because I would be condemned myself. And the corruption of those that do things I cannot identify because I am as corrupt or worse than what they are. Because I'm a blind guy leading the blind. But it's not the case. When we allow the word of Yahweh to judge our hearts and to search us, we allow this truth to search us, he will find every kind of corrupt thing in you. He will show it to you. And you are glad that he has done that. You began to rejoice that your father has shown you that evil, vile thing in you that had set you apart from him and began to separate your mind, your spirit, your heart from him. That darkness began to overtake you. When that darkness began to blind your eyes, then you are blind. You are blind. And when you become blinded, you will follow the blinded leaders. And you will both fall into ditches. Why? Because you don't know the pathway of righteousness and truth. You don't know the pathway of holiness and purity unto Yahweh. And so you began to pursue those things that will draw you into some form of religious or God worship. It will not be the worship of Yahweh. You will find some form of religious God worshiping, and you will worship those things that pertaineth unto some form of God worshiping. And that's what men are doing today. Because there are two great commandments. The greatest is love Yahweh. And then the second one is loving your neighbor. And that's the great commandment of Yahweh. To love him. To love your neighbor. And that is the truth. And if we don't fulfill these royal laws of Yahweh, we're guilty of every last one of them. And there are ordinances, there are statutes that come forth from the commandments of Yahweh. We're going to be held to a judgment that we don't understand the power of this judgment. We're very lustful nation and greedy. We're wicked. We're sinful. As the nation that holds back, O Yahweh, their praises to him, we hold back worshiping him. And it is one nation that when it comes to their finance, they hold that back without any impunity, without any thoughts of it. It's wrong. And it is wicked. He wants us to give all that there is nothing here that binds us to this earth. Everything that's in us binds us to him because there's an eternal hope that we wait for. See, that's why he doesn't want us to have the riches of this life. I don't care what the crap load dollars and the dogs of hell are saying. He wants us to lay up our treasures in the kingdom. He don't want the thieves to break in or the moths and the rust to enter in. He wants us to lay up our riches in the kingdom. He's not concerned about you buying land and hoarding things on this earth because they all shall pass away. And who shall be the inheritor of those things anyway? So he wants our riches to be laid up in the kingdom. In the kingdom. That is what he wants. Well, how do we get to that point when we submit faithfully in total obedience unto him and to bless him? It is a sad shame. When a man like that, Brother Babu, he takes everything he has to help the poor. And this wicked nation of churchgoers, that's what it is, of religious people, and they satisfy every component of their flesh, and yet there's no heart of giving and no faithfulness unto Yahweh. Something is wrong. Something is wrong in our spirits when we get to that point. And that is the truth. That is the truth. It's right. I don't care what he says or what the enemies of hell say, how they come against this man of Yahweh. He's going to stand in the firmament of Yahweh's power. And he's going to stand to preach and proclaim the acceptable time, not just year, but this is the time to accept the laws and the righteous instructions of Almighty Yahweh. For any other way is going to lead you into darkness and hell. The other way is going to separate you from him. And we should be a people set apart, not from him, but from the elements of the world. We should not be drawn and captivated by anything in the world. We should not allow those things to bring about the joy or happiness in our lives. What should bring about the joy in our lives is to know the strength of Yahweh's word has power, has authority, has rule in our souls. That should be our strength and our anointing. It should simply be that and nothing else. Our hope is in him and not in these things that are temporal, not in your sons, your daughters, your daddies, mothers. That's not our hope. It's in the eternal things of Yahweh. Daddy is going to die. Mama is going to die. Sons and daughters are certainly going to die. But the word of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the perfect law of Yahweh. Messiah said the heavens and the earth shall be moved from their element. But not one jot or not little, one little thing shall pass from the law of Yahweh. That's what he says. And nothing that Yahweh has commanded or given unto us to instruct us in his government, he's not going to change one thing at all. He has a way of worship. He's not going to change that because of our emotions or the way we feel. He wants us to come into his house singing, rejoicing, glad that he has given us and granted unto us that opportunity to do that. He wants that. And he takes no excuse at all. None whatsoever. It is your own wickedness, the darkness that has entered into your heart that has separated you from the love of Yahweh's truth. And when you cannot perform these truths, it's because there's a wicked seed there, something insidious and corrupt there that draws you away from that. I want to show some examples in scripture. It's not what I say, it's what he always says. That was something profound happened when they hailed Messiah when he was raised up on that stake. There was a spirit that was opened in the earth and is still here today. It's in scripture. And I know what scripture says. I'm glad I'm simple enough and I'm ignorant enough in the things of Yahweh's truth that I must constantly search it to get a better understanding of what he's trying to convey unto me. I'm glad that I'm that way. I'm glad that I do not have the intelligentsia or the ability or what we call the smarts or the intellect to retain things like a physics or a great doctor. I'm glad that I have that limited ability that I must trust on his unlimited ability to show me all things. I'm glad of that. I'm very grateful for that. I'm glad that there is no great strength in me, and I'm so weak that I tell him I'm weak, and it's the power of that honest and truth with him. He empowers me with his strength. I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that I have no wisdom at all, but if I ask my Father, who gives to every man liberally and upbraideth not, I'm glad I can ask him for wisdom. I'm glad of that. So I have nothing that I can boast in. There's nothing about me I can boast in to say, look at me and my greatness. There's no greatness. There's only one great thing, and that's his name. It is written in my heart and in my forehead. Nothing else is great. His laws are great. His commandments, his ordinances, his statutes are great. Messiah is great. The hope of the word is great. The law of his purity, that's what's great. There is no great thing in my flesh. Nothing at all. He is great. Ascribe greatness to him. Ascribe to me weakness, shallowness, need help. That's what I describe, ascribe to me. Now you may ascribe something different to you, woe unto you. No, I will let him exalt me. I'd rather be at base. And then in that due time, he's going to exalt me into his kingdom. And there I will be forever. I know what the truth says. I want to read something from Scripture. It says in Matthew. This is what Scripture says. It says at the 27th chapter, verse 39, while Messiah hung on that stake of death, it says in the 39th verse of Matthew's Matthew 27, it said, and they that passed by him, or they passed and reviled him, and they wagged their heads. They mocked him. They said, who are you? You declare yourself to be the son of Yahweh with all this righteous power? And they mocked him. They wagged their heads, say, look at him, honey. He has nothing at all. And they said, you said you would destroy the tabernacle of Yahweh, and in 3 days you would build it back. They said, if you can do that, if you that kind of a master carpenter, says, save yourself, deliver yourself from that. So you're in a position that the only way you're going to be delivered is that Almighty Yahweh delivers you. Now that is how they mock Messiah. Now deliver yourself from that. How are you going to come down from that? Say, if thou be the son of Yahweh, come down from where you are. Step down. Show us that you have that kind of power. Show us that you have that ability, and we will believe you. You think they would have believed him? You think they would have believed him? Yahweh gives you breath every day, and you still don't believe him. He calls your lung to be filled with the breath of life, and you still don't believe him. He brings you down from deep, troubling, spiritual wrestlings, and you still don't believe him. He brings you down from circumstances and situations where your flesh have lifted you up, so whereby the laws and the righteous truths of Yahweh don't even soothe your heart. And yet he still has his hands stretched out. His tender mercy is stretched out to us. So if you be the one, you say, you'll come down. Come down from there and save yourself, and we will believe you. They will not believe him. That's why this generation doesn't believe Yahweh, and there's a reason why. He said, likewise, the chief priests mocked him. And the scribes and the elders said, he saves others. Himself? You tell me he cannot save? If you be the king of Israel, let him now come down from that stake, and we will believe him. That's what they said. Yahweh, if you do this, I'll believe you. If you touch my body, I'll believe you. You give me the strength, help me to overcome that, I will believe you. I'm just going to believe you, Father. I'm just going to trust you. I don't care what the circumstance is, I'm going to believe you. I'm just going to trust you. You've already proved to me what I am. That's what you've proved, and that's enough. If he can convince me that I was a low life, nothing, good for nothing, wicked thing, that's enough. Because the arrogance of any flesh will say to flesh, I'm not that way. There's some good about me. I treat my neighbor nice. I do folks nice. And we've all said that. We've all justified our fleshly deeds and our fleshly offerings. We all said that. And so he convinced me that I was nothing but a vile, corrupt thing without any hope of mercy at all. And it was the promise of that hope in Yahshua, Messiah, that gave me any kind of hope at all. And when he made me realize that, and showed me what I was, that's all I need. That's all I need. Though the skin worms eat my body, whether I go, as Evangelist Horn would say, I may be blind, I may be lame, but I know that I'm going to wear the crown that Yahweh has placed for me to wear. So it makes no difference at all. They would not have believed him. He had came down. He has already come down. And we still don't believe him. He has come down into your soul. He has granted unto you a liberty to know him. And we still don't believe him. He has granted unto us a document, a constitution, in his pure word, that we can be governed by the power of that. And being governed by that, we can have fellowship with him daily. And we don't want his fellowship. We'd rather dine off the tables of vomit and every kind of unclean thing. We'd rather talk with unclean tongues and do things that are unclean instead of dining on the table of Almighty Yahweh. Eating the things that are pure and righteous and things that give strength down in our souls. This is a generation that doesn't want that today. It wants the wickedness of this world and the unclean things. It relishes those things. It relishes the fellowship of the world. It relishes the accolades of the world. And Yahweh gives us accolades all the time. He tells us we're filthy, to cleanse our hands, to purify our minds, ye double-minded. He tells us those things all the time. And He shows us how to do it. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Tell me the truth, Father. And He can't lie to me. Everything He says to me out of the Scripture is me. He's not lying to me. And you may say, that's not you. You are a pervert. It's you. Everything He speaks to you. He speaks to His house. He speaks to His children. Because that's the way we are. They went out and ate the food of Yahweh. We eat His word today, and then we rise up and we go play. We commit folly and frivolity and sins and lies. Commit every kind of indignant thing there is. We come in, we dine on His goodness, His mercies, His kindness, and we go right out and wallow and play in the sin den of hell. And they say you're having your flat out full of lies, full of perversion, and your mind is so dark you can't even, light can't even shine in. That's the way His people are. But they want to be self-righteous. They think they have something to measure up to Yahweh. We have nothing to measure up to His expectation. That's why He put something in the hearts of man that they can measure up to His expectation. When He put that in the heart and the conscience, He gave life to it in the hope of the Spirit through Yahshua Messiah. And that's how we only got hope and power to do the will of the Father. You can't do it by your own power, your own strength. There's only one strength of man, and that's the pleasure of sin. It loves sin. It loves the wickedness of sin. That's the only thing the strength of man loves, sin and corruption. It loves lies and folly and foolishness. That's why the expression in Scripture says we must be born again. There must be a rebirth in our hearts. That's what we need. We've been birthed under corruption already. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, and we all were conceived in sin. In iniquity were we shaped, because you allowed them to do every kind of wicked thing without any control over them. You taught them lies and deception. Wrong is right and right is wrong. You taught them that. You thought the things they did was cute. You thought the things they did were nice. They were not cute. They were not nice. So you shaped them in iniquity. And that's what we've done. We've been shaping that way. In pure iniquity, to do my own self-will, to perceive or to establish my own laws, and we've all done that. We're guilty of the sins and the wickedness. That's why there's only one hope in Messiah, is that hope. It's not in some religious practice. It certainly isn't in me. And I want to tell you something, honey. It ain't in you either. It's in Him. There's no hope in you, it's in Him. And because He is in us, then there's a hope of what the Father is going to do. It's not in your flesh. That's why we are miserable. Why? Because our hope is it pertains to these things. Having this and having that. And they never bring the power of Yahweh's anointing or His joy. Wives, husbands, not any of those things. Children, family, not any of that. They bring agony, disheartenment. They bring pains and battles. That's what they bring. There's only one thing that's going to bring strength to our hearts. And that's the joy of His truth dwelling in us. And when you have the joy of that truth in you, you know how to deal with a wife. You'll deal with her right. You'll deal with a husband. You'll deal with him as an honorable, as a lord too. As your rule and your head. You will deal with him that way. Not like a Jezebel. And a man will not deal with a wife like some kind of Jezebel. He will deal with her like Scripture says. I don't care if this religious world doesn't like me. That's not a problem to me. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care their response against me. It makes no difference at all. I will tell them, well, let's go to the word of Yahweh and show me what Scripture says. And I will show you how condemned you are. Every tongue that rises up in judgment against you shall be condemned. Why? Because this is the heritage of the saints of Almighty Yahweh. So let them rise up in judgment against me. I want them to. Hallelujah. He said, we will believe you if you come down. Scripture says in verse 43, he did not trust in Yahweh. See, that was his strength. He trusted in Yahweh. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the son of Yahweh. He trusted in Yahweh. Who do we trust today? Well, I trust the Lord. I trust Yahweh. Because without him, there is no hope in Yahshua. There is no salvation. For he is our Redeemer. And Messiah has paid the price of the redemption. We are the redeemed of Yahweh. So there must be a price paid in order to be redeemed. And those that are redeemed of Yahweh, they ought to rejoice and let Yahweh know that they are redeemed. For let the redeemed of Yahweh say so. And when they're redeemed, they want their father to know, I'm the redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm the redeemed. The Messiah paid the price for me being redeemed. Not my mama, not my daddy. Yahshua paid that price. Not no wife, not my husband. Messiah paid the price, not riches. If that's the case, then how do those brothers there in India with making scanty wages? You understand what a scanty wage is in a country like that? We will call $6 an hour scanty here. They will call probably 50 cents a day scanty. What can you buy for 50 cents a day? Tell me. Please tell me. You must eat the same thing every day. You must eat the same thing every day. We don't want the same thing fed to us from truth. We don't want the truth every day. That's why when he said, when you go to the store, you don't buy hypocrisy, buy truth. And don't sell it. You buy the truth of Yahweh. We buy trinkets. We buy things that take us into some fantasy realm. We love fantasy. We don't love reality. That's all these stores, that's all they have, a fantasy. It's a fantasy thing. It's not a reality in any of them. And the people are absorbed in that. They're consumed with the fantasies. Why? Because it's changed their whole identity. It changed their thought. It changed their lust pattern. Every day your pattern of your lust changes. I can show you pictures of things in every single day. They're meant to change you. And for you to be conformed, confound, and to be confused. We having food and raiment, just raiment. They're what you ought to be content with. Just having that. You should worry about nothing else. And that's my prayer. Bring it down to that, Father. You're going to suffer, preacher. I will find out whether he can lift me up like he did Messiah. They say, you trusted in Yahweh. But see what he's going to do for you. He did it all for him. He did it all for him. He gave him the stand power to stay on that death of shame. He gave him the ability to have faith to go down the grave. And the third day he will get up. So he had stand power. This is a generation that has no staying power, has no fidelity, has no love, has no sense of quality to it at all. It has taught the women how to be rebellious, has taught the men to be effeminate. That's what the world has done. Yahweh wanted the woman. That's why he took the woman from the man's rib. He took her from that she may understand the power of her lordship, or the one that governs her is her head. And that's why he did that. Now what this wicked world has taught them to do, taught them to put on pants, to be rebellious, and now many women don't even have the effeminate qualities that a woman should have. They walk like men, they talk like men, they act like men, they're not soft, they're not dainty. He didn't make a man to be feminine, to be punkish. And a man is not a man because he can lift 50 pounds. Man is a man when he has the law of Yahweh's Spirit abiding in him because he knows who his head is, and that's Messiah. So this law of the land today teach women to be all rough and to talk like men, to walk like them, to walk like God. Woman should have a walk that is distinct with her voice as the voice of distress. That's the way she should talk. Her attributes should be that way. And that's the way the assembly should be. Not some bulldaggish type thing. That's how they act today. That's why they dress the way they act. That's why they change it. Hurry. That's not how women should talk. Her voice is one of distress. That's what it's for. And that's why Yahweh gave her that voice, for one of distress. That's what her voice is, when it's one of distress. Man's voice is one of authority. I don't care if it doesn't has to be a bass voice. It's one of authority. It's one of authority. And that's what the spirit of hell has done. Destroy that. Destroy the place of the man and destroy the place of the woman. That's what it has done. That is what it has done. And only those men that have the spirit of Yahweh in them would be men. And only the woman that had the spirit of a man in her would be a woman. And that is the truth. You can reject it all you want to, but that is the truth.
She must have the spirit of a man. That's why she was known as woman. That's it. And they're taking the law of femininity away from women today. They're taking the law of femininity to give it to men. Men are effeminate now. They pose effeminate. They do things effeminate looking. That shouldn't be. Women do things all machismo. That shouldn't be. That's not your way. As you do things, go to feminine essence. That's why Yahweh is going to destroy the effeminate. That's why he's going to do that. He's not going to deal with an effeminate man. Not at all. That's the reason that all this has come in, saints. That's the reason. I want to read on down. I'll show you why it's all come to light, saints. Why all these dark things has come to light. That's why. A man today can't be a man because why? Because this vile world will not allow him to be that. Only under the auspices of the law of Yahweh can a man be a man today. And any man that's not on that, he's going to be an effeminate thing. His actions are going to be effeminate. He's going to look effeminate. He's going to walk. That's why these young boys today, they like to look effeminate today. That's why Yahweh put a beard. He put hair on a man's face that he wouldn't look like. He wouldn't have the distinct character of an effeminate woman. Now, I know what this church attitude has taught men, the shame and all that, but that was a Yahweh's plan. It was only down when he came into Potiphar's house, he had them shame because it was a pagan thing. And that's the truth. Man was never the man to have a smooth face like his wife like that. No mustache, no beard, and her face just as smooth as his. Yahweh didn't do that. Why did he put it there? That's the truth. So they want to make them as feminine. You look at these, what they call movie stars. They feminine looking men. Soft lines. They are. I'd rather have old gut than have the soft lines that these men have. That's the truth. I'd rather have me an old gut than to have these soft, effeminate lines that these men have today. Fingernails like women, polished and buffed, and pedicures. Don't give me no pedicure. I want my hands to be rough. My old back is a rough thing. Yeah, just I want it to look that way. I don't want to be smooth and soft like my wife's back. I want it to be rough looking. Sure I do. I don't want no lines that are soft looking. And a man shouldn't have soft looking lines. Nor should a woman have hard looking lines. And that's what the world has done today. Make them hard. Be obstinate, rebellious. Yahweh knows why I'm saying this. It must be needed in this house. Hallelujah. You could get upset all you want to jump up and down. It makes no difference. It says in verse 44, the thief also which were destroyed or on the stake with him, he cast it in the same teeth. Now here this man dying. Now his hope is because if he can do that for himself, then maybe I can come down. See, that's the way we are. Well, just do it for me, Father. Well, Lord God, if you do this, I do right. I give you more often. I tell you, God, if you pay my electric bill, pay my rent, it's past due. You pay my car payment. You give me that money, God, I'm going to give you $100. Well, she gets the money. She paid the car payment, the rent, doing all that. And then she think about the Philly shoes she wants. He think about the new pair of boots he want to buy him and the high dollar fancy Philadelphia suit he wants. And he spends all his money and say, well, I just don't have it this time, Lord. But I tell you what, Lord, next time, I don't do that for you for the wickedness of this generation. He's not even real to them. Now, he wants us to bring the first fruit of our offering, the first sheaf. You bring it to him. That's how you do it. And then you give the rest to your other Lord. He doesn't want us to have lords of us anyway. We're bound in debt. We're succumbed to debt. We can't move. We can't function. We can't worship him. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. And that's what the world is bound to today. So if you, although thief said the Messiah, well, if you just what they say, y'all, come on, man. Come on down. I want to see if you got what you say you got. You got what you say you got and make me believe you. Because if you come down from this, I know you got something. And if you can come down, you can bring me down. That's what he was saying. He didn't believe him. Now the scripture tells us. Look at this now. It's precise. It says now from that hour, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And we're in the ninth hour, saints. Darkness over the land today. Do you hear me? Darkness over the land. And it says, and about the ninth hour, we're in the ninth hour. Listen to this. Messiah cried with a loud voice. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my Father, Why hast thou forsaken me? Now darkness was in the earth. Darkness filled the earth at that time. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Darkness did. Why? Because there's a spirit in this hour, saints. And there's a dark power in the earth because Yahweh has forsaken the house. And there's scripture that shows us why he forsaken the house. When you go out and worship other gods, he is going to forsake you and your children. When you deny his law, he said, I'm going to forsake you and I'm going to forsake your children. They're going to be destroyed because they don't have the knowledge of who I am. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, we're in that ninth hour in this hour. And darkness is in the land. Why? Because there's a work that must be done, and it must be done in that spirit, and the power of darkness must reign. It has to. And so darkness was in the earth. The earth was dark. It was filled with darkness. That did not lead them to repentance now. It didn't lead the change of the hearts. It didn't cause them to repent anything at all. They did not repent at all. Now there was a reason that darkness must come in. Because it's one thing about the dark powers of hell. It's easy for them to slide in during darkness. All of our sins have been committed in the dark hours. Every corrupt thing we do it when we think that no one sees us. And no one watches us. I know one thing that Yahweh sees me. And I don't want that kind of dark, corrupt mind or spirit. To think that I'm getting by on him. I'm a flat out fool. I don't want to do anything underhand that's so corrupt that I want if Deacon Benny watch me, Brother Jeff, Brother Jermaine watch me. I don't care about that. I know he's watching me, and he sees me. And I don't want to do anything to bring my father to that kind of disorder. I know the father sees me, and that means more than anything. Know that he sees me. I'm not worried about if you see me, because I'm going to do right before him. How do you do that? Because of the law, his righteous law. That's not what you're going to do right, the righteous law in your heart. Your soul. And because Messiah, he comes to promote the righteousness of Yahweh, he will make sure that those things, according to the laws of Yahweh, are done properly and right. That's what he will do. He's not going to change anything. I know what the religion whorehouse has taught us is wrong. That's why we got to go back to Zion. Get on our faces before Yahweh and cry out. Those old preachers back then, they didn't know a lot of things. They couldn't read. They were ignorant. They had no ability to read. But there were many of them that would get on their face, and they didn't know how to pray. They were taught how to pray, so they prayed faithfully. And there was a law of righteousness in them because the law of Yahweh was in them. And because of that, Yahweh honored his word in their hearts. And they were speaking. He would give them understanding of that. They couldn't read. They were just taught by what things were taught to them that they had no ability to read. They couldn't read. They know how to read. They know how to. They know how even to debate doctrine. And we haven't learned how to read. We haven't learned how to read. Because that's why he commands us to study. To show ourselves approved of. As a workman need not to be ashamed. Righteously dividing the word of truth. So we haven't learned how to read. Never learned how to study the word of Yahweh. You've learned how to sin and do all kinds of corruption. But we haven't learned how to do what he commands us to do well. We haven't learned how to do it. And the reason we don't get beyond that paradox that we're in, because we don't have enough integrity of Yahweh's truth in us to say, this is me. It is me, Yahweh, standing in need. As the song say, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, Father. I need help. Scripture tells you the reproof to a wise man is better than 1,000 stripes to the back of a fool. You can beat a fool all day, he still never changes. His demeanor still never changes. Never. But you reprove a wise man. He said, man, that's right. I needed that. Not a fool. Well, I don't see why Pastor Robert shared that. I ain't that bad. Yes, you are. You worship what you think you are. You never justify yourself. Because Yahweh justifies us. You can't justify yourself. It's Yahweh that justifies. He's the one that said, that's all right. He's mine. She's mine. Darkness upon the face of the earth. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 47. Let me move quickly. Luke 22. This is what I want to show you here. Luke 22, Lucas 22, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and the one that was called Yahuda, one of the 12, went before them, and they drew near unto Yahshua to kiss him. And Yahshua said unto Yahuda, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This is how you betray me with a kiss. When they which were about him saw that, what would follow? They said unto him, Yahshua, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Messiah answered and said, suffer ye thus far. He said, don't worry about me, leave it alone. And he touched the ear and he healed him. You would think that that group of fools would have said, there's something here. You would think that when the word of Yahweh touched down at the inner parts of your heart and show you the sin, show you don't have the ability to hear, show you you're lacking to hear, you would think you would say, Father, I need some help. You would think you would say that. You would think you would say that. Then Yahshua said unto the chief priest and captain of their whole house, that's what they were, and the elders which came, which come to him, he said, be ye come out. You come out against a thief. Did you come out against a thief? With swords and staves or with your billy clubs to knock my head off. He said, when I was with you daily in your whorehouses, ye stretched forth not your hand against me. But this is what he said. See, now look at this. This is so important here. He said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now this is the hour. For man is stretching forth his hand against Messiah. They're cutting him off. He's not a part of anything they do. In this ninth hour, they have stretched forth their doctrines against the laws of Yahweh. They stretched forth their hands. He said, now this is your hour. And this is the hour for the powers of darkness to do their thing. And they're going to do it in this ninth hour. He said, this is your hour. And in this hour, this is your hour. This is the hour of the flesh. Hallelujah. This is the hour of the flesh. It is rebellious. It's obstinate. It rejects Yahweh. It will not hear what he says. And although it has given you ear to hear, we will not hear what he said. He said, don't worry about this. This is your hour. Thank you. He said, and this is the hour of darkness as well. And this is your hour today. That's why flesh has raised itself in such a great fashion today. In such a great magnitude. That flesh is honored above all things. They can dress like whores. They can be a Butch Dagger, Cheney's daughter. And they honor that kind of vile trash. And say she's a lovely thing. She is a corrupt, perverted, sodomite. Fear with hell, on her way to hell, Dick Cheney, Elizabeth Cheney, and them all. And they honor that trash today. They do. They honor that. They honor that trash. He said, this is your hour. So your hour's here. There was a television program, I think, years ago, a show called This Is Your Hour. So this is your hour. Messiah said, this is your hour. He said, I know you got an hour. You got 1 hour, the ninth hour. You got 1 hour. And that's all right. The doctors of hell have 1 hour. And they are procuring and securing all they can. They are saints. They're sowing every kind of seed, every kind of corrupt thing they can. That's what they are doing. Because it's dark. And it's dark because they have forsaken Yahweh. They have forsaken. They forsook him. The apostles, when he was hanging on that stake, they forsook him. They all went, they always say what you will or may. And darkness filled all of their minds that they went back to their own drudgery and their own sins. And the only reason that they were justified because they were given unto Messiah and he could not lose a one of them. He could not lose a one of them. They could not be lost. They could not be lost. And they forsook the righteous hope of Almighty Yahweh. As this hour we see that all flesh today is forsaking the laws of Yahweh. And the righteous commandments and the mandates of Almighty Yahweh, they're forsaking it. And when you forsake him, he is going to forsake you. Your sons and your daughters, your parents, better get your hearts sincere and your minds clean with Yahweh. You can take it lightly all you want to. You better get real. You walked in your hypocrisy and your phoniness. You better get real. You better get real with him. You better get sincere with him. Because your days are just like a vapor smoke. And they're certainly going to pass away. You forsake the righteous laws of Yahweh. And draw to those things that are carnal and fleshly. Your sons and daughters are already forsaken. You're already. Say what you want to. He cannot lie. Messiah did not say we live by some of the words. He said we live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. You can't deny what he says. You may do it, but to your own peril and your own destruction and death. The ninth hour of darkness. This is your hour. This is the hour of flush today. This is the hour of your hour and the powers, he said. The powers of darkness. The powers of darkness. What is the power of darkness today? Well, it is that spirit that calls a man's mind to become foreign to the laws and the righteous things of Almighty Yahweh. Now, that is the power of darkness today, whereby his heart is not filled with the gladness to honor the truth of Yahweh. That there is such a deep set of darkness that controls his mind. The things of this life, the trinkets, the frivolity, the sin, his lust. And these things brings in this dark power. It brings in the government that established the laws of Satan. When a man's mind is so removed from the purity of Yahweh that there is no time in his thought for him. There's no exercising of his faith. He can't hear the word. Faith come by hearing. And hearing. The only way we're going to hear is that the word of Yahweh opened up our ability to hear. See, the word was there with him. The servant cut off one's ear. And Messiah picked the ear up and put it on. He said, heal the ear. And yet they still couldn't hear. And that was the word of Yahweh. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. And Messiah was the word. And he spoke to them in a profound way there. He speaks to you in a profound way. And it has no conviction in the hearts today. We despise it. We hate it. We mock him. We jeer him. We have disdain for him. And that's the spirit of your hour. He said, this is your hour now. You got 1 hour. What is 1 hour to Yahweh? What is 1 day to Yahweh? He said, you got 1 hour. You got 1 hour and the powers of hell. You got 1 hour. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Can I tell you all, you ought to be Ganda, better learn how to give attentive attention unto Yahweh. You sit in here with your dreamy minds and your dreamy spirits and your minds aloof and it's wandering, it's pandering with nothing but sin. That's why we can't come up from where we are today. Because we allow our minds to be taken by our imaginations, and that is an abomination unto Yahweh. You should not come in Yahweh's house and be imagining and thinking about things that are external. Your mind ought to be set on the things that are above. And your minds are so loose and you're so full of sin that sin draws you away from the living hope and the living word of Yahweh, that your mind is given over to play with trinkets and imaginations of Yahweh's house. You in deep doo-doo. You know, Lamar, I didn't feel like preaching today. I didn't. I said I was going to do something a little quiet today and go home. But no, that's not what Yahweh's doing. He's speaking very vociferous. This is the people that cannot hear. Can't hear. It's easily to be allured and drawn away. Minds have nothing in there. That's why it doesn't take anything to attract the mind. Take some of the silly thing. Some of the playful thing. That's why most folks can't do well in school. The young folks. Because their minds love to play. Loves to wander. You got to give attention. You got to give attention to Yahweh. He brings us into this tabernacle. For a couple of few hours. You ought to exercise that power. To make sure your mind is on him. You ought to start practicing that. When you have sat there before television for 5 or 6 hours, hypocrites, you watch that. You haven't gotten up to use the restroom. There are folks that will sit and watch ball games today, drinking beer, and they will not go to the restroom unless it's halftime. And they will sit there. They can almost defecate in their clothes. They will not get up. And here Yahweh feeds us and open up our hearts and our minds to truths that are beyond some pagan or ignorant football game or some little trick in your mind. Then it brings to focus whom he is and what he's all about. And you let some little small fish fry thing take your mind away from the pure word of Yahweh. You are sick in your spirit. Who you talking to? You. Only a wise man will receive that. A fool. 1,000 stripes won't enhance a fool. I don't care how much you rebuke a fool, he will not get any better. He will still be a fool. He will still be a fool. He will still be a sluggish thing. That's what he will. Sluggish and slothful. A little full in your hand, a little sleep, and nothing but poverty. That's why you like to come in Yahweh's house, fold your hand, a little sleep, get a little dreary eyes, and a little sleep. And that's why your spirit is so full of poverty. It's time for you to be awakened. It's high time. It's one thing about the darkness of the night hour. You want to make sure your eyes are open so you can see everything. Because in the darkness, you get a little scared out there. You hear a little something, whoa, what is that? You want to know what's out there. You keep your periphery. You make sure that you make sure everything is around you. Those brothers go out there in the woods hunting at nighttime when it's dark out there. They can hear, they'll hear every little sound, every little cricket. They can hear a little lizard crawl. You hear a little thing. And in this dark hour that we must be diligent. We must be sober. When we are drunk on flesh, we are drunk on sin and lust. We are drunk on our own consumption. This dark hour, you got to be able to hear. What is that? What is that spirit? What is that? What is that? It's one thing about darkness. I don't care how brave we think you are, or how brave we think you are. It's something about darkness that it can bring in spirits that make you say, whoa, sure it does. Look at who you are. It make you think things. Sure it does. And that's why this world is thinking the way it's thinking. That's why Messiah said, this is your hour. And the power of darkness, this is your hour right now. And in darkness, it makes you think things. You're in the house by yourself. It's dark. You wonder, well, what is that sound? Is it a ghost? Is it a devil? Sure. But what is that? They don't go out there in the woods like these brothers hiding. And it's not even daylight. What do you think they think out there? Or how do you think anybody trying to make them think? That's what it does. That's what darkness does. And when your mind gets so dark, hear me. When your mind gets so dark, every kind of spirit that is will come and speak to that dark mind. The power of light is not shining in there. The dark spirits will speak. Your own loss and your own depravity, your own iniquity, they speak. And they try to comfort you, to bring you in, and to lure you to a place whereby they all will forsake you. You always say, don't forsake my law. Don't forget my righteousness. Don't do away with what I've commanded you. Don't do that. Let me show you the thing that we don't do. Now, he said, this is your hour. He said, this is your hour. He said, this is your hour. This is your hour. Isn't that what it says? This is your hour. And the power of darkness. It is the rule and the authority of Shaitan. It is here. Now he says this. I want you to hear this in Colossians chapter 1. This is what Shaul says. It's sad that we don't love true saints. We got to love Almighty Yahweh with all our heart, soul, mind, and all our strength. Look what he says now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He tells you this. He says, give unthankfulness. Who did he say give thanks unto? Does it say Father? That's what it says. And most renditions, it will say Father. In most interpretations. Well, who is the Father, saint? Who is the Father? Who is the Father? Who is the Father? Who is the Father? That's what he tells you to do. Give thanks. He did not say the Messiah. He said, give thanks unto the Father. That's what scripture says. What does it say, saints? It said, give thanks unto who? It said, give thanks unto who? It said, give thanks unto who? It says the Father. It says the Father. It said, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's why you give thanks. Why? He said, who hath delivered us from the what? Power of darkness. Isn't that what Messiah says? He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Is that not what Messiah said? He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness in Luke 22:53. And then Shaul speaks by the same anointing as Messiah. He said, Yahweh hath delivered us from the power of darkness and done what? Translated us into the kingdom of who? His dear son. His dear son. He tells you to give Yahweh thanks. You give Yahweh thanks. For he has delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And if you don't give him thanks, it's because there's a power of darkness that rules in your soul. And that's what rules religion today. dark powers. That's what rules these perverts, the rappers, the Hollywood scarlets and whores. That's what they are. These effeminate, perverted men. Effeminate, soft. That's what rules them. It's a dark power. It is a dark power. He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. That's what he said. He said, now you better give thanks unto Yahweh, your Father, for he has delivered you from the power of darkness. And he has done something magnificent. He has translated you into the kingdom. He has brought you into the kingdom. And that is the knowledge power of whom Yahweh is. That is the kingdom power of Yahweh. That the power of Yahweh's truth dwells in us. I don't know how to express it any other way, but a simple way that we can understand the kingdom of Yahweh has come. His kingdom dwells in us. So has translated us, made us to be into the kingdom of his dear son. And his dear son did all things to please the Father. He did not please himself, he pleased the Father. That's what he did. He pleased the Father. He delivered us from the power of darkness. This is the hour, this ninth hour. This is your hour. And flesh has been exalted above all things today. These whorehouses today, that's all they do, exalt flesh. I don't want anything that's going to cramp my style. There's something that's going to cramp your style. Hell is going to cramp you. Believe me. And you're going to be bound there forever for eternity. Well, I don't want anything to give me some kind of laws that I must abide by. I want something. I don't want anything that's rigid. I want something that I have room to express myself. The only thing yourself expresses is wickedness and sin, lust and corruption. Anytime you express yourself, you're expressing just what kind of fool you are. When you express your feelings, you're just showing the kind of fool you are. Well, I want to express myself. Your expression is full of folly, foolishness, sin, your own anger, your own unrighteousness, your own perverted and twisted judgment. That's what expressing yourself is. We ought to express him. Messiah. For me to live is Messiah. For us to die is just him gaining the authority and rule in us that he ought to have. So we express him. We express the law of righteousness. That's what we do. Messiah didn't express his will. He expressed the will of the one that sent him. That's what he did. He knew that he could dismiss a legion of Melechim from the heavens, and they was able to bear. But even Satan knew that. He said, I know what you're able to command. I know it. But he was the price. He was the full price. He could not give 99 cents. He had to give all 100%. He was the full price. He was the ultimate redemption. That's what he was. He always said, this is the price. Don't need no bullocks or heifers. This is it. And he knew that before the foundations of the earth. He knew that. The Messiah was the price. And his name is not pagan Jesus. It's not Yeshua. Yeshua. Salvation of Yahweh. And that's what he is. He's HaMashiach. He's the anointed one of Almighty Yahweh. That is who he is. And that's it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I want you to go quickly to Psalms 22. I want to read this entire chapter because it's important. This is the prophecy and basically the metaphor of Messiah on the cross. Now he said to the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the Father didn't forsake him. He didn't forsake Messiah. He knew that because scripture lets us know that. It was an hour of darkness. And in this hour of darkness, you sense that every day. You sense that he's forsaking you. He's not with you. He's not close by. And it's the dark things of our own minds that separate us from him, our own sins. And it's very easy for us to condemn a brother or sister without seeing our own sins. That's the problem. You don't see what you do is sin, but it's very easy for you to say, David Roberts sinned. He didn't talk to that brother right. Well, he could have talked to my husband one way, or he didn't have to rebuke like that. That's the way we think. And yet we never see our vile, evil, corrupt ways. We don't see our sins and our corruption, our wickedness. Who are you? Well, I'm just who I am. I'm the one that Yahweh has placed here to show us our sins, the heart, the nature, your wickedness, and I don't give a knicker's worth of hog's dung if any of y'all's feelings are hurt. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if what I said touch you, I intended to. It makes no difference at all. That you can find you some horrid spirit and talk against what I say, that's to your own peril. It makes no difference at all. What you need to do is hear the truth and let Yahweh deliver you. That's what you need. And so I don't give a knicker's worth of rat's dung. I wouldn't buy a knicker's worth of rat's dung. I'd rather have bat's dung. What you think or how you feel. Because Yahweh doesn't care. Not at all. Why? Because you have a form of worship and it's you. And it's your own flesh and that's what you're worshiping. Every child he's going to correct. Sure he is. And I won't stop saying men shouldn't act effeminate and women shouldn't act all butch bulldagger. I got on a little sister the other day. She said, oh, I said, look, girl, you talk like a young woman. You don't use your voice like that. You sisters ought to set examples how for them to walk and all of that. You ought to do like Miss Nichols and teach them how to walk. Teach the young girls how to walk. No, I don't want to see no brother walking like that around here. I don't want to see no brother walking like that. I want to see him walking straight up and upright. That's how a man walks. Miss Nichols taught the girls how to walk. Sure she did. And by her teaching the girls how to walk and how to hold their hands, it certainly wasn't a way for me to hold my hand like that or to stand like that. The girls don't talk like boys. That's what this wicked thing they want to run. Sha-ba-ba-sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. We walk it down the streets. We talk it to the folks. We do it. Cham-bam-bam-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. They do the same thing. Filthy, degenerate, vile things. That's what it is. It's a foul spirit. It's an evil thing. He wants you to be feminine, daughters. He doesn't want you to be feminine, man. No effeminate thing is going into the kingdom. That butch dagger, daughter of Dick Cheney, she ain't going in. All the Christian conservatives can pray with their mammies and their grandmammies. She's not going in. In hell, she's going to lift her eyes. Now tell her what she is. She's a butch bull dagger. No woman should walk around like a man, trying to act like a man and her posture like a man. It should be dainty. She should walk like one. That's the way they should walk. So I won't take nothing back, brothers. That's right. I'd rather you say, Jimmy, believe me, that voice, it will penetrate. It will. A woman's voice will reach far greater than a man's voice. Because it's one of distress, that's what he gave. Sure he did. Hallelujah. Let's know she needs her. She needs the man. Yes, she does. She needs him. She needs him. Hallelujah. That's the truth. And that's the strength of a man. His ways are not effeminate. Why? Because he has the spirit of the law in him. And he makes sure that the woman is governed by that same law. Sure he does. Hallelujah.